Welcome, everybody, to a very special interview edition of We Have Issues. As always, I am your host, Keith, and of course, I'm joined by my Star Wars sidekick, who is always at my side, Josue.
Ooh, it is very, very good to be here on this one.
Yeah, I'm really excited. If you guys are fans of ours, if you've listened to our shows before, you've probably heard us talk about this first person. You might even heard us talk to this person before, because we really enjoy talking to Justin Richards, creator of Finger Guns.
Hey. Yeah, I was going to say, like, your audience probably is sick of me by this time.
Oh, no. If they're sick of anyone, it's me. So, no, I'm excited to have you on. As I mentioned, of course, we first became aware of you because of Finger Guns through Vault, which is great. Shout out to Josue, who is preaching the good word of Finger Guns while working at Books with Pictures.
Every chance I get.
One of mine and Val's greatest allies.
Yes.
Getting Wyatt Kennedy on board, which is great.
Yep. So.
But yeah, obviously we've talked Finger Guns to death though. So I just wanted to go ahead and mention that. And if anyone's listening and says, hey, what's Finger Guns? Go read it. You will not regret it. I promise you that. But we're not going to linger on that because Justin has a lot more going on. Justin, why don't you, first of all, before we jump into anything, why don't you just give our audience an idea of who you are?
Yeah, Justin Richards. I'm a non-binary comic writer, so I go by they, them. I guess professionally, like, the way I try to sell myself is I usually call, like, my tag on stuff is always emo comic writer. So that's kind of what I try to sell myself as, which I always explain is, just like the genre, it's short for emotional. So that's really the focus, is telling emotionally driving stories, ones that will use my power to move you, as Tenacious D would say. And so, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, and like I said, we've really enjoyed, obviously, Finger Guns. But the first thing I wanted to kind of talk about, we talked about this last time you were here, and I want to kind of do an update because I'm really excited about how it turned out. Justin was an editor, right?
Yeah, I was on what we called like an editorial advisory board.
Nice. For a book called The Color of Always, an LGBTQIA+ love anthology, which was on Kickstarter and something that we did back in our group. And I'm very excited to get my copy. It should be coming very soon. But I just wanted to kind of talk to you about it because we don't get to talk to Kickstarter creators a lot. And just in general, it seemed like a very collaborative project, obviously. Lots of creators involved. Just want to kind of get your like impression of that process, how you felt about it. What was it like, basically?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun because there was so many people, and therefore, you know, it gets a little overwhelming, but it's, you know, you're just working with so many people on so many different levels, and, you know, it can be frustrating and tiresome, you know, like figuring out, you know, how to appease like 20 plus people with one contract, you know, and stuff like that, like figuring out the right language of stuff and things like that, and just keeping everybody on schedule. But working with Brent Fisher and Michelle and Fellhound and that whole team was great. In fact, we're doing it again real soon. I'll tell you more about that in a sec. But yeah, it was mostly like going through the pitches together and deciding like a good order and ones that, you know, which ones we like the most, which ones were just like on the bubble. That's the crappy part, is when you got to be like reject, you know, stories that you actually enjoy, but like you just know it's not going to fit in the budget. You know, there's lots of like ups and downs and stresses, but overall it's just fun. It was a good time. And, you know, the team of people that I got to work with is the best. So,
yeah. We follow a lot of smaller creators on Twitter, people without, you know, name brand, you know, readiness, if you will. And so I do see a lot of posts of people like, I'm submitting to an anthology, you know, wish me luck and stuff like that. We do see a lot of people because that's a really good way to get your name in the door. It's a really good way to, you know, to get to know other people in the industry. Like, there's a lot of really great things about that that really help people out. So, yeah, I can understand definitely, like, you know, having to pick and choose which ones not necessarily are good, but that fit the project especially would be kind of difficult.
It's like you gotta there's so many factors to take in of, yeah, like relevancy to the theme and, you know, do we have five other stories that are all kind of following the same pattern? Like, you don't want to, you know, overdo it, that kind of stuff. But Color of Always was super fun. We made like, we made a Discord channel for like all of the people on the book to, you know, kind of be a family and get to know each other and talk. And so even to this day, even though the book is, the campaign's been done for months and the book is about to come out, like we all still bullshit like every morning, like just, you know, sending memes and pictures of dogs and cats and other, like, you know, things that all gay people are obsessed with, stuff like that.
Nice. That's so a good great. Sign of a good community, you know, is when the group chat quote keeps going after the project is pretty much done. So that's yeah. always great.
Yeah.
We had awesome. A good time. Well,
I was just gonna say that was with Extra Pages Press is like yes. the banner that Brent and Michelle have started, and so they're about to do another one, and I'm also gonna be involved in the same role on that one. We're calling it SWAT Cow for short. It's sharp wit and the company of women, and it's all about sword babes and yeah. It's going to be awesome. So fun. And I went ahead because it's such a great theme and fun. Like I had to submit a story for it this time. I was like, I'm doing it. Like I didn't do it in Color of Always. I was like, no, I'm going to let other people have their voice and all that. And I'll just be an editor. But on this one, I was like, no, I'm going to be selfish and tell a story.
Yeah. I was looking at it and I love the logo. I think yeah. it's really well designed. I think it's a lot of fun.
Agreed.
I love that of obviously, because I'm looking at it right now, the T on wit obviously is a sword, but one thing you don't really notice immediately, but then really love is the ampersand is like a morning star with the chain wrapped around to make the ampersand symbol. It's so yeah, good.
It's really good.
like I really dig that. So.
I wasn't involved in that, so I'm not even sure who made it, but they killed it.
Yeah. So yeah, for those interested in this project, I recommend you follow them on Twitter. So you can find Extra Pages Press literally at Extra Pages Press. The two directors in charge that Justin mentioned are Brent, which you can find at Carol, Carol Collector, and Michelle at Cereal Pancake. So make sure to follow them. You'll get all the updates and everything. I'm really, really excited for this, and I cannot wait to get my hands on a copy of Color of Always. I think it's going to be so much fun to read through, and more queer representation in comics is always good, and I love we've been getting so many of these cool queer anthologies with different themes that I adore it, so.
Yeah, this one will break your heart. It's going to make y'all cry. I've seen it. I've read it. It's impossible. you're gonna cry. It's so.
It's a very cool collaboration.
A lot of good yeah. touching stories on this one with really cool art. So I'm really yeah. looking forward to that. And like a little exclusive for y'all, Extra Pages Press may or may not have just gotten a table at FlameCon in 2 weeks. So
ooh.
There might be some actual physical copies of Color of Always floating around cool. FlameCon in a couple of weeks for people to pick up, and some like stickers. And yeah, Michelle's scrambling to get it all ready, but she's going to be there and have a lot of cool stuff. So go check out Extra Pages Press if you're at FlameCon.
Where's FlameCon?
New York.
Gotcha. Okay. I'm
very far I'm not away really from all me. Of us.
Yeah, very far away from me, unfortunately. I mean, we have our eyes on Baltimore Comic Con because we're madmen. But we have a friend over in that area that always goes, and she's like, come on over. I'm like, man, yeah, I'll just cross the country to go to a Comic Con. So
yeah, that was yeah. when Michelle was like, oh, we got a table. I was like, oh, I wish I could afford to hop on a flight and like be there for it with it. Like, that would be so cool. But she's gonna be holding down the table mostly by herself, so hopefully she doesn't get too overwhelmed. But
yeah, well, that's really cool. I encourage our listeners, if you're in the New York area, I don't know how many we have over in that side of the country, but if you are listening, check it out. That would be a lot of fun. Take a picture with your copy of it and make me jealous because I don't have mine yet. So
I think it's August 18th through the 20th, but don't quote me on that. But I know it's in August, gotcha. Like 2 weeks away, 3 weeks away.
Nice. Awesome. Well, I definitely wanted to talk about that very briefly because, again, I'm excited about it. It's a project that's, you know, just coming to the end. People are going to start getting their hands on it. I wanted to go ahead and, you know, increase the excitement about that and, of course, about the next project. But the main reason we wanted to talk to Justin today is Justin has a solo project coming out to Kickstarter that we are very excited about. And we've gotten some previews because Justin loves us.
Very cool. And
so we're very, very excited about this. So it is called Everything Is Different Now. Now, when does this launch, first of all?
August 2nd. So where we're recording today is 2 days away. So
nice. Gotcha.
By the time this will probably, episode, this will probably be out already.
I'm probably going to launch this on the 2nd, to be honest with you. Oh, I want to coincide with the launch. So
today, then.
Yeah, today. So obviously we're going to talk about plugs and everything, but just to throw it in again, Justin's at Emo Comic Writer on Twitter. So go there. There will be a link. You can click and kickstart it immediately.
Yeah, it's in my bio and I've been tweeting nonstop, so it's not hard to find.
So I want to talk about this specifically in comparison to your last project that was kickstarted. Mm-hmm. And because we definitely backed that one as well and really enjoyed it. First of all, is there anything you might have done differently now with this one than you did in the last one with a little bit more experience with the kickstarting process?
Like, would I have done a Silent Night differently?
Yeah.
I'm sure I've learned some stuff. You know, we'll see. I guess mostly I would I've learned some parts of kickstarting a campaign. Like, there's some stuff that you, like, you try to focus on so many different things, and some of it you don't have to focus on as much as you might think. Like, in particular, mm-hmm. for me, it was, pre-launch followers. I sweated trying to get, hundreds of followers on my first campaign. And, you know, we did pretty good. I think I got 75, 80 or something like that, which was, I was really happy with that. But the thing that I've learned between that and Color of Always and another Kickstarter I did that didn't quite make it is pre-launch startup doesn't mean anything really. Like, people click it and then forget about it all the time, I guess, because every time I've seen a max of maybe 28 to 30% of those people actually convert over to being backers. Mm-hmm. So obviously that's great. Obviously you want those numbers and the more people, the better, but it's not something that I'm tripping over myself to do because I realize the numbers will come however they're going to come.
Yeah. I mean, as someone myself who last year spent in the four digits on Kickstarter campaigns for comics. Yeah. Pre-launch means nothing to me. Occasionally I'll save it, but it doesn't mean I'm going to back it. Only once did I specifically save saying I have to make sure I back this. Yeah. But I've saved several things in pre-launch and then second-guessed myself. So yeah, I mean, I can see where that wouldn't really translate directly to the actual backing. You know what I mean? So,
for sure.
Yeah, plus, I mean, I like the big splash that first day, you know, and yeah. I like seeing that number climb real quick. And if you have it saved, a lot of times they'll remind you a week before it ends, you know what I mean? Or something like that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So that, yeah, I would rather see that big splash. I want to see people be like, holy crap, we're funded in 24 hours. You know, I like seeing that message and stuff. So
I would love that. We should do that this time.
Let's do that, guys. So yeah, let's talk about this. So Everything Is Different Now. On the pre-launch page, it's described as a rage-filled collection of comic shorts.
Yeah.
So in our previous encounter with you, if you will, it was much more of a downbeat depression. Yeah. You know, and then this is obviously it's going to be higher energy, obviously it's going to be aggression. So is, I guess the question I've been wanting to ask is, do you plan on just going through every emotion?
I won't lie, that's a great question. Absolutely fantastic question, because I didn't do that on purpose. But then when I did realize what you're talking about with, like, I was like, oh man, like I did like my sad emotions book. Now I'm doing like my angry emotions book. Maybe I should do like just like a happy one sometime or something, or like keep the theme of like going through the emotions. It would be really fun. I don't know for sure if that's my plan at this point, but I did think about it. It crossed my mind where I was like, oh, I'm like starting like a theme without even really trying. So
yeah. Or a sexy book.
now we're talking.
Yeah. So yeah, is there anything, any specific reason why, you know, why rage was your next direction? Was there like one story that made you be like, oh, I really like this, and then you built around it? Or was it something you really felt like was a natural progression? How did the decision come apart?
Yeah, I was actually, Michelle from Extra Pages Press, her and I have really hit it off, and we talk almost every day, we're buds, and so I was talking to her about, you know, I want to try and do another Kickstarter project, something with like a lot of stories so that I could kind of like showcase more of my talents. Cause, A Silent Night did that somewhat, but it was only a 5-page story that I wrote and then pen ups. And so it was a little bit different. It wasn't like all written by me and like a bunch of stories. So I wanted to do something a little more story focused this time. And I was trying to think of like a theme that I could do. And I was thinking about, like, you know, what kind of stories have I been thinking about and putting in my notes app recently? And, you know, there's plenty of fuel for rage these days. And it just kind of struck me. I was like, you know, I have a lot of stuff that I'm kind of pissed off about right now that I would like to talk about in comics. So let's just do it. And Michelle was like, that sounds like a really cool idea. And now she's the editor on it. And so...
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's Michelle Abinader, by the way. I haven't said her last name, and it's...
Okay.
I feel bad. Anyway.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's obvious to say, like, I've heard it before, but with the state our country's in, if you're not angry, you're not paying attention.
I would agree.
So it's a good time to express some anger. So I really enjoyed that. Obviously we're working with a variety of artists on this book.
Yeah.
But I mean, we got to start with Val, right? Like, we love Val. Like, we adore Val. And I associate you two with each other automatically in my head. There's a lot of writer artist combos I always associate with each other. So, I believe Val did this one cover you sent us.
Yes.
Yeah, because it looks like Val's art, because I can usually recognize Val. So
yeah, our cover B is by Val, who, for those that haven't maybe read Finger Guns or don't know, Val Powerson was the artist on my first book, did all the interior work. And yeah, he's been with me every step of the way through my professional comic career. And so... He's kind of my comics brother, and we just, anytime I have an opportunity to have his art on a book of mine, I'm going to do it pretty much. So.
Man, nice.
Yeah. Anytime we have a chance to buy some of Val's art, we're going to do so. Mm-hmm. I know Josue is a huge fan because Josue loves body horror and just twisted imagery, and Val is just genius at that, to the point that it makes me creeped out because it's not my thing at all. But like,
these monster girls are just like so fucking adorably hot too. It's right? Like, I love the variety. It's just like, I love the range. It's so good. I love Val. We love Val here.
Yeah, Val has like, he throws out these just random illustrations all the time that are just so dope. They'll either like haunt your nightmares or make you super horny or both. Yeah, it's really, really, he's a good follow.
Yeah. So who else can we expect to see on here besides Val? What are the artists end up teaming up with?
So the other cover, so that's our cover B is by Val. Our cover A is by none other than Liana freaking Kangas.
Hell yeah.
One of the hottest comic book cover artists that there is right now.
Honestly, I'm looking at the two covers. That's a tough choice for me.
Right?
Like, which I like them both quite a bit.
Yeah, I was very, I'm just like, when I put those two up, I'm like, oh, this is a cool book, because it's got two dope-ass covers. And we do have a double, you know, you can get both in one tier. So
nice. Awesome. What about interior artists?
Yeah, so we've got a really wide variety of artists, and all of them are ones that I'm super excited to work with. Got some names that people are probably more familiar with, like Chris Sheehan and Kelly Williams.
Ooh, we love Chris Sheehan.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Chris is, I've been dying to work with Chris for a long time. We're buddies and we chat here and there. We share some friend groups and stuff. And I've always been like a huge fan of their work. Obviously, like, their art is just so good. And particularly, like, they love drawing alien, like xenomorphs. And nice. I'm like, please let me pitch a xenomorph book with you. I want it so bad. But yeah, I was finally able, you know, when it came time to find artists for this, I was just like, well, I'm just going to hit up all my talented buddies and see who's got time and, you know, is willing to work within my budget. And yeah, it worked out, luckily. So Chris is doing a two-pager. I guess that's another fact about it is everything in the book, I have one 4-page story and everything is less than 4 pages. I really kind of challenged myself to tell a number of stories in minimal space. So, and that way it also, you know, it keeps the production cost down, keeps the buy-in price for my fans down. You know, I know that stuff is hard right now. Like, times are hard for everybody. So having like a $40 hardcover wasn't really what I was going for. You know, I wanted something $10 or so and you can get in. So,
yeah. Awesome.
But yeah, other interior, like I said, Kelly Williams, Adam Cahoon is one that I should definitely mention because Adam not only is just amazingly talented, but he's doing, two stories, or well, like a story and a fake ad. And
oh god, that one's
fake ad.
I had to share that one with you guys. I'm so excited for it. And he also designed our logos. So Adam's name is all over this book, and he's just killing it. Yeah, he did the story he's doing is the most personal one in the book. That's kind of more about, you know, it's actually about like me and not just about like the state of the world and stuff. And
does that one have to do with anything with the other page you sent us with it, of his?
Yeah. The Raven.
Okay. I don't want to go into like details or anything, but cool.
No,
one looked awesome. Like, that was such a good tease.
Thanks. Yeah. That page he did. Like, he's still working on the rest of that, but he's done one page for that story, and that one page is like, I could sell the whole book on it. I swear, it's so good. And yeah, like, I'm willing, like, we could talk details. So, like, he did Selmo is the name of one of my fake ads that, like, I'm so proud of. So that's the one we were teasing earlier. Selmo is a parody of Elmo, who's nothing but a tool for capitalism.
It's fantastic. And
thank you so much. I'm stupidly proud of Selmo. So, and that one, like, I let Adam kind of have the pick of what he wanted, and he was like, give me all of it, but especially Selmo. Like, I want Selmo. And I was like, he's yours. You can have him. And awesome. He killed it. And yeah, we got, and then the Raven one, I named it. It has a raven, and I named it after an Edgar Allan Poe reference. It's called Silent Nevermore.
Nice. Because,
that's kind of like the message of it is, like, I'm not going to be silent anymore. I'm not going to be submissive to...
Oh, dope.
To, like, kind of like the just accepting the lies that have been told to us since we were kids, you know? Like, that's what a lot of this book is about, is kind of like looking around and realizing, like, oh, like, all of the stuff that I was quote-unquote like promised or told about as a kid is just like not true, or not, you know, like buying a house and like having the white picket fence and American dream, like that alone is, it's not achievable for our generation. It's just not. And stuff like that. So that's where, like, I'm looking around and like everything is different than what I expected, and I'm pissed about it.
So. Yeah, definitely. Awesome, dude. And then I have to talk about the other preview pages you sent us. Yeah. So I never know how to pronounce his last name, though. Jimmy
Kutsai. You would never get it.
Wow. Okay. Kutsai. Yeah. So
he knows how hard it is to pronounce his name.
I absolutely love this art. I don't know about Josue, but my first thought was Daniel Warren Johnson when I was looking at this art.
Oh, totally. This is also the one I'm like super mad about, especially now that I know there are only three pages and this is all we get. Like, how dare you just start us here, which is like, oh, cool, whatever. We'll start at the end of this story, but start of the new one. And then, you just cut. You just cut so abruptly and out of nowhere. And what you do with it, oh, I'm so mad about it, but it's so cool. I love this one so much.
Oh, thank you.
The kinetic energy is very Daniel Warren Johnson.
Oh, totally.
And we're huge fans of his. Like, I was to the point where I first saw it, and before Josue asked who did that one, I was like, did he actually get Daniel Warren Johnson? I'm like, how did that happen? So I really, really enjoy that. I think that one alone is going to sell the book on a lot of people. So
Jimmy's art is seriously next level. Like, Daniel Warren Johnson is my favorite artist working today. Like, no question about it. Like how you know your favorite album, like we were talking about before the show. I know my favorite comic artist, and it's Dan. And Jimmy and I have been working together for like a year and a half now or so on various stuff. His art has just leveled up so much. And he met Daniel Warren Johnson at a con last year and like started doing that stuff. So the fact that like you caught that, Jimmy's gonna be very happy.
Yeah, definitely. Specifically the person behind the wheel. I'm like, that's a Daniel Warren Johnson character. Like, I'm like, that's 100%. We love him too, obviously. Like, the Better Ray Bill book was great. Do a Powerbomb is incredible.
Dude, yeah. I have a Murder Falcon tattoo on my arm. I don't know if you know that.
That's awesome.
Yeah. To kind of tell more people about like what we're talking about without talking about it. Jimmy did this three pager. It's called Message in a Time Machine. And it's insanely like action packed and like just like you were saying, like kinetic energy flowing throughout it. And yeah,
he's perfectly condensed too. Like, you follow this energy, you follow this story. It's like at such a good pace. And then to where like it literally leaves you wanting more. Like, you're so pissed that you cut it there. I can actually talk to you. I can blame you right now.
Yeah, I wrote it that way. If I could go back in a time machine and warn myself about something kind of story is what I'm going for with that. And
that's amazing. You know,
like what
fucking mind blown literally right now. That's awesome. Like, getting all the details in and then like you just drop that nugget there. Boom. That's awesome. And I love that, dude. I love that about this book, that it's just like, it's not just like about, yeah, it is about being angry, but again, like the way you express it, then like the way you invoke it out, like, I want more of this. I'm pissed that I don't get more. But then I love where we start, like coming back to like the cover. I honestly do dig that you went with the Liana cover, because it's not what you expect going in. Like, I love, it's like, it's just like, it's so happy, so vibrant. But it's specifically what she's doing, and there's so much rage that you can just throw out and onto a drum kit. So I feel like this cover is just so perfect, and then you just dive into the whole aspect, the whole range that is rage. So yeah, it's just awesome, dude. I'm really excited for this one.
Thanks. Yeah, I tried to really show the range of the emotion and like in the things that like you can be. Like, I tried to have at least one feel good story, which I sent you guys a little two pager. It's by Fabian Lillet, you know, another amazing artist. And that one's just like a rager with friends. It's having a good time and like, you know, playing video games till like 5 a.m. And yeah, so I'm glad that came across in between even just the cover and stuff. Like, that's great. Thank you.
I think the important part is with all these examples of rage, none of it's directionless. And I think that's important. I think they all have a direction. They all have a point. They have a purpose. They all have something to say. And I think that's what makes it cool and unique. And that's going to bring all these very disparate things together to be a comprehensive, like, collection. I'm really excited about this one. So
thank you. Yeah, I am too. Like, obviously, like, you know, every writer or person who's creating something is going to say that they're excited about their work, but this one, like I was saying with Selmo, with to you guys, I think it's the best thing I've ever written. You know, like, there's some stuff in here that, like, as I was writing it, which that's another fun factoid, I guess, is like, I told Michelle the idea and she was like, that sounds cool. And then literally within like 2 days, I had all the ideas for the book. And then within 2 to 3 weeks, I had all the scripts written. And like, it just really came together and was something that just clicked right and like was on the right, you know, like the right rhythm, and everything just really, really worked. And so I'm really, really proud and really excited for this one for sure.
Yeah, definitely. When it clicks that easy, you know, you can kind of feel like it's going to be, you know, it's coming naturally. You're not forcing it. And that's really, that usually leads to really like comprehensive and good projects, you know, if you don't have to force it, I guess is the way I'm trying to say it. So.
Yeah, lie to you. There was a moment I sent you guys the back cover, right? The rat.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. So, and all like everything that we're talking about, by the way, like I've teased on the Twitter and stuff. So like you guys can go and see most of what we're talking about. And if it's not on my Twitter, then like it'll be on the campaign page. So like there'll be a lot of ways for you guys to actually relate to what we're talking about and see what it is. But the back cover by Tench is this idea that I had based on one of the greatest songs to mention Rage of all time, which is Bullet with Butterfly Wings by Smashing Pumpkins. And I literally shout, I was like, genius. When it clicked, I was like, oh my god, I love that so much. Like, so yeah, it's about, you know, despite all my rage, I'm still just a rat in a cage, and that's why it's on the end. Like, it's gonna be our back cover, which, like, you were talking about the vibrancy of Liana's cover.
Like, yes. Oh shit, yes,
the way that's gonna pair with, like, you know, this light on the front, and then you're gonna go through and have this experience, and then you're gonna be like, but it's still dark and grim, and like, despite all this, we're still just
in a cage. God. Love it. Love it so much. I literally didn't want my hands on this so bad.
Yeah, that's where I was like, genius. Never done that before. That was a fun moment.
Well, I'm genuinely excited. I can't wait for this project. I think we're really going to enjoy it. I mean, obviously, we've enjoyed everything we've read of yours, so I don't think that's a big, you know, thing to claim. But this one, I don't know, it's hitting different. It's hitting a little bit different, and I'm very excited about it. I mean, I might have to get both covers. Like, I honestly, I'm sitting here thinking, like, which one? And I'm like, I love them both, so we'll probably see that. So
I was thinking about that, too, when I was looking at it. Like, if I was a backer, like, if I wasn't writing this, I was like, which one would I pick? And, yeah, it's impossible. They're so both so good. Liana and Val killed it.
That's how I always end up spending way too much money on Kickstarters, is because I'm like, well, if I'm gonna get it, I should get the deluxe edition. Like, yeah. You know,
I guess so. Like, another thing we could talk about is like some rewards that we have in mind, aside from, like, we're gonna have some commissions available from Fabian Lillet and one from Fellhound. So whoever wants a Fellhound commission better move quick if they want it from my campaign, because I've only got one. But we've got that, like, those kind of stuff. But the thing that's, like, going to tie into the book that I'm really, really stoked for is some, for one, we did a 3-pack of buttons to, like, you know, clip onto whatever. And I designed them all and made them all by hand. And so I'm, like, really, you know, stupidly proud of them.
Yeah, you sent us two of those, I think.
Yeah.
Did I send two? Well, so one of them is just the back cover, basically. It's the despite with the rat.
Oh, see. And that's the one I did not see. So
yeah, so you didn't send then.
Okay. That one's going to be bigger, too. It's 2 and 1/4 inches, whereas the other ones are 1.5. And those ones deal with, well, one is directly from a piece in the book about a traffic. It's like a single image traffic light smashing.
I love it.
Yeah, it's like it's a falling down and it's smashing, and each of the colors represents something that so it says go now, or so, never stop,
fuck caution, go now.
Yeah. Which, yeah, it's simple but effective. And so I, yeah, did that with the color theme and matched it. And then the other one that I'm really excited for is we have one that says comics are political, and it looks like a little like I voted button.
Yeah, that's my favorite. I love it.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm really so. I'm hoping people dig that one a lot. Yeah, it's gonna be, you know, I mean, that one, some people might not like it, but
I don't care.
Is got to take a stance on stuff like that, and like that's part of what this book is like kind of like trying to like be like stand up and say something, and part of that is comics have always been political and they always will be. And so if you say keep your politics out of my comics, you don't know comics. So
it's like Captain America punched Hitler in the face. We all know this, right? Like,
that was his first cover, his intro.
Like Jesus Christ, people. Like so stupid. Yeah. But yeah, dude, I'm so excited for all this. It's gonna be really cool. I personally would, I know this is completely impractical and this is mostly a joke. If you made an actual plush Selmo with a voice box that said these lines, I would die.
I need that punchline said out loud. It's such a good line.
Yeah. So I came up with a bunch of stupid lines for like, okay, well, like what would a mouth, like a literal puppet mouthpiece of capitalism say? Right. And so it's got stuff from like, on the like on the box, it says like land is property, and yes.
Prime Day is a holiday. Yeah, it's a buyer's market.
Trickle down or die. Yeah, those ones, the three on the side were actually written by Adam. I only had the one, and he was like, "We have this space. I want to add more. What do you think of this, this, and this?" And I was like, "Yeah, just do it. That sounds great." But the best one that I'm so proud of that fits like it fits a meme and everything is like, I'm selling it to like parents. It's like perfect for adults and parents too. And he's like, "Why am I so unhappy, Selmo?" And he's like, "Stop being poor."
That one. That's the one I need.
Stop being poor. Yeah, it was. Yeah, I want that on like a T-shirt and a sticker and a button and all like everything. Oh, yeah,
Selmo would be a great fucking T-shirt.
Yeah, yep. If it was, I looked into it because I thought the exact same thing. I was like, Selmo belongs on a T-shirt, and it's just too impractical for the campaign. But if the campaign is successful,
the irony of monetizing this character, by the way, is amazing.
Yes. Yeah,
I love it.
But yeah, if the campaign's successful, I think I'm gonna probably go out of my way to like do a store or something that I can sell some Selmo T-shirts out of. It's got to happen someday.
Yeah, definitely.
He has a lot of good sayings and stuff.
Definitely. All right. Well, is there anything else? Anything we're missing about the campaign you want to get out there? Because I definitely want to make sure we get as much hype as we can around this.
I will say the other like cool reward that we're working on, there's no pictures of it yet. We're still like putting it together. So by the time the campaign launches, we're hoping to have at least an example to show, but it might be like a coming soon kind of preview thing. But we are doing a sticker sheet that I'm calling Rager Scouts. So it's going to be like scout badges based on stories from the book. So there's going to be like, I think there's a Selmo badge, and then there's going to be like there's going to be one for like the Silent Nevermore. So it's, I think that's called like the Silent Nevermore badge, and like one for, I think we're doing 5, maybe 6. It's gonna be really cool.
The Selmo, the I knew you'd buy it badge.
Corporate Selmo. <Exactly. solo.
laughs> Yeah,
that's funny because I've been playing Stray, and when you complete challenges in the game and you complete all the side quests, all it does is give you a little like scout badge on your backpack. That's all it does. Like, it doesn't serve any purpose. No one comments on them or anything at all. It's just like, you did the thing. Boof.
I did. I 100%ed that game, actually. I got the platinum trophy.
Fuck yeah.
I will say, if you get all the memories, you get an upgraded backpack that, again, does nothing. But it looks cool. It's like a multicolor, like, it changes color in the different lightings and stuff. So it's cool. But yeah, it does nothing.
Yeah, I'm just doing my first playthrough because I know one of the trophies is to beat it in 2 hours or less. So I'm kind of like, got to get ready for that. So
yeah, but you got to run.
But anyways, this show's not about Stray. Awesome. Well, again, we're really excited for this and excited for any potential future projects you might have. I am assuming if you do have something to announce, we'll be first on your list as we usually are. So, amazing. All right. So let's throw out some plugs. First of all, for us, let's get us out of the way. You can find me at WHI Podcast Keith on Twitter. You can find our producer Liz at WHI Podcast Liz. You can find Hostway at Hostway Reads Hostway. You can find this show, We Have Issues, at WHI Podcast on Twitter. That's our weekly comic book show. We review basically every comic that comes out every week through extensive and exhaustive research. You can also find our other show, Jukebox Vertigo. This show comes out every other week, and it's a music playlist building show. Every episode, we get a randomized category. We have some guests, and we build a playlist based around that category. The most recent episode out is Remixes, and the next episode out, which will be
Workout Music.
Will be next Monday, is Workout Mix. Yes. So make sure to check that out. And we're really, really excited for that. With that in mind, Justin.
Yes.
We did briefly mention the beginning. When we have you on, we always like to have you contribute to the next playlist. Is there a song you'd like to add to a Workout Mix playlist?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to do Problematic by Bo Burnham, because the music video is all him working out in like a 80s getup, and it's ridiculous, and I love it. So
awesome.
Well, I can guarantee we do not have Bo Burnham on the playlist yet.
Thank you for that. That is awesome.
It's a good pop-up song, too.
I do love him, but definitely. All right, awesome. We're going to go ahead and add that on. Great. And now, also with Jukebox, I should mention that it comes out every other Monday morning. Whenever it comes out later that evening, Hostway does a live listening party on Twitch as he adds the new songs at Hostway Plays Hostway. That's at 7 p.m. Pacific time. Make sure to check that out. He usually plays as a game. We've been playing like some Pokemon Pinball. We did some Mario Kart. What was the adventuring game you were playing for a while?
To that one? To the listening parties? I don't know.
It was like a survival move from screen to screen thing. Never mind.
Oh, Binding of Isaac.
Oh yeah, Binding of Isaac. That's what you were playing for a while there. So a variety of games. So make sure to check it out at 7 p.m. every time a new episode of Jukebox Vertigo hits. And you can follow that on Twitter at Jukebox Vertigo. And We Have Issues comes out Saturday mornings, just so you know. Just please fill in all your plugs. I want everybody to know how to reach you.
Mine's pretty easy. I stay consistent with using my username of at Emo Comic Writer. My most active is still Twitter. You can find me on Instagram and TikTok, but you won't get much content that way. it's very rare. Twitter is... If you want to follow my work, I love to share stuff when I can. So I post a lot about like things that are coming and, you know, little sneak peeks. And I try to like cut out panels where I can without getting in trouble with editors and stuff. So if that's your thing, it's a good spot. Otherwise, you know, I'll be like shouting about politics or about movies or comics or video games. You can see a picture of my platinum cat from Stray. that's pretty much it. I've got the SWAT Cow is coming soon, so get ready for that with Extra Pages Press, which is at Extra Pages Press, also on Twitter, and otherwise just look for this on Kickstarter and some bigger stuff in the works as well.
Awesome. All right, well, thank you so much for joining us, Justin. Cannot wait for this project. And we will definitely be cheering you on from the sidelines as much as we can. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Don't forget to bag, board, and box your new treasures, and we'll see you next week.